Blog Talk Radio.
Today, a great Italian Baroque composer, Angelo Corelli, did his music still popular today. Frederick Douglass, one of the early very articulate blacks who wrote and was very famous before the Civil War and after the American Civil War. One of the two retailers that were headquartered in Chicago, first one was Sears Roebuck, then Montgomery Ward. Montgomery Ward went under. They had a huge white building on Chicago's riverfront, which is now condos. It just shows you how retailers go under. There used to be Cressage and Spiegel's, and Sears Roebuck was reorganized several times. I don't know if they're going to survive. The major German arms maker, Friedrich Krupp, was the founding father, and they developed huge guns for the German Army and Navy in World War One, in the Prussian War, and in World War One and Two. And the U.S. Supreme Court, now it's called SCOTUS, and here are a few some of the things that you most Americans don't know about this court. For instance, they get about 10,000 cases a year. There are only 9 justices, and obviously 9 justices do not have the time to go through reams, a bushel, a huge, you might say a dumpster, some of them, think about some of these cases. They have clerks, I believe, on the third floor. I researched the case and did the filing for the plaintiff, Stephen Neri case. Anyway, they screen the cases, and then the 9 justices go into secret conference. Nobody's supposed to be there, and they decide which cases they're going to certiorari, either order a hearing, or they can send it back, or do nothing. When a case, if the Supreme Court does nothing on a case, that does not mean that the case has no merit. It's just that they decided, for whatever reason, that they don't want to rule on it. And this has happened. Sometimes people have to come back on these cases. The most recent clerk of the U.S. Supreme Court wrote in an article that the court has been infiltrated, you may put it that way, by gay clerks. And this happened in the Steve Neri case, which title was altered on the filing. And, of course, this is tampering with the court cases, and it happens on the lower level also. And this is what's happening with the Supreme Court and other courts here in the United States. Law school graduates who are in the top tier of their classes, if they apply to the Supreme Court to clerk for a justice, if they clerk for justice, this is a plum job that often leads to major law firm employment, and sometimes they become federal judges themselves, like John Roberts clerked for a federal SCOTUS judge, justice, excuse me, and I believe two other justices up there when they were law school graduates recently clerked for Supreme Court Associate Justice. Also, today's the birthday of Lehman Von Sanders, and it's very interesting because Turkey is increasingly in the forefront of the news. Lehman Von Sanders was sent to Turkey to block the British and the French from pushing a different Eastern Front in World War I, known as Gallipoli. And he trained the Turkish army along with Ataturk, and they successfully repelled the British, New Zealanders, and the Australians from Gallipoli. And, of course, we have the only interview of one of the lieutenants who served at Gallipoli and was evacuated. Now that, and so that, we have that, and that's part of the Carson Brazola Historical Archives. Among the other birthdays today, we have the guy, if you like chocolates, Cadbury started his firm today, and Cadbury was among the best chocolates ever made. Also, let's hear what else is going on here. Thomas Watson, who started IBM, birthday today. Noah Berry, actor, born, I think, in Arkansas. H.L. Hunt, the Texas oil magnate, was accused of complicity, possible complicity, in the JFK assassination. Hunt had funded many what are considered right-wing organizations and political agendas. Golda Meir became the first Israel's first female prime minister. Also, today we had, among the other deaths, Geronimo, and of course, you know, you hear the paratroopers jumping out of a plane yelling Geronimo, and we'll get into the origin of that. Bruno Walter, the great German conductor, was also, he fled Nazi Germany. He worked with great Gustav Mahler. He also worked with some of the great German opera singers like Lottie Lehmann. And he changed his name from Schlesinger to Walter. He, during the early part of World War II, Bruno Walter was supposed to conduct the Sunday afternoon concerts at the New York Philharmonic. He came down with the flu, and they substituted Leonard Bernstein. So that's where Uncle Lenny got his start. He was a young 21, 22-year-old conductor, and he was a sensation. The interesting thing is other young foreign conductors like Leinsdorf were drafted into the U.S. Army, but for some reason Lenny Bernstein was not. His father was a wealthy Russian emigre furrier, but there's some strange things about Leonard Bernstein, about his personal life. We'll get into that another day. A great actor with a beautiful voice. He starred as an adversary in Thomas More and Beckett. Donald Wolfert, great voice. One of the great composer conductors in Hollywood. It was part of a family. It was Randy Newman, who wrote Short People. Alfred Newman, he died on this day. The guy who started the method acting, Lee Israel Strasberg. Many of the great actors studied with Strasberg and went on to do very fine work in the film industry. Randy Schultz was a gay reporter, Chronicle's first openly gay reporter. He came from Illinois. He wrote the book And the Band Played On. He died of AIDS in the early 90s. On this day, it's a great opera by Mussorgsky. Boris Godunov, a real character, he was crowned Tsar of Russia. 1772, Poland, which in the 15th century was kicking Russian butt, they went into decline as a country, and they were carved up by Prussia, Russia, and later Austria. In 1801, the House, U.S. House of Representatives, in the Electoral College tie, the U.S. House of Representatives chose Thomas Jefferson to be president over Aaron Burr. You can imagine what happened if Aaron Burr had been the third president of the United States. In 1818, the first known bicycle was made in Germany, and it's interesting, the Germans used bicycles, and of course, when Adolf Hitler came to power, he promised people the Volkswagen but didn't deliver, and he controlled people's behavior by banning automobiles, and so they had to resort to public transportation or bicycles. And the same thing happened in Nazi-occupied Europe, that as much as possible, the Gestapo, Hitler, the whole crowd, denied the populace automobiles, so they had to resort to public transportation, what there was of it, and bicycles. Although this is one of the frauds, political frauds here in America, where bicycles don't pollute, that people forget are that bicycles have rubber tires, which rubber grows on trees that has to be manufactured using fossil fuels. There's metal that has to, there's iron ore that has to be manufactured with fossil fuels. And then there's the seat, and then there's plastic, which has to be manufactured using fossil fuels. This is one of the biggest political frauds that ever to be foisted on the American people, this whole bicycle agenda. And also the fact that when streets have their automobile parking taken away for bicycles, that means that an automobile and buses and trucks have to travel slower, and of course all that exhaust is going into the air just to accommodate what is essentially a latte leisure class, a white preference, a white privilege. If you look at who rides the bicycles, the demographic is these young white kids coming out of and yuppies coming out of the wealthy suburbs. You don't see a lot of blacks or Chinese. In fact, in Chinatown you won't find bicycle lanes. And a bicycle lane costs an estimated, for a bicycle lane in a block costs about $30,000. And of course, these guys who ride bicycles don't want to pay for bicycle licenses or safety devices, and when they injure or kill somebody, they're not held fully liable, if at all. Now, among the other events today, England recognized South Africa, although there was later the Boer War, stirred up by Cecil Rhodes. And also in the American Civil War, the first functional submarine, the Huntley, sank the USS Housatonic, which was part of Navy, the U.S. Navy's blockade of southern ports. And, of course, the Huntley itself went down and has recently been salvaged, and they're trying to restore it. It's a piece of Confederate Navy history. In fact, the Secretary of Navy of the Confederacy was a Jewish boy, a Jewish Jewish ethnic. Also on this day, the first female judge in 1870, Esther Morris, she was appointed. And also in 1880, Alexander II, there was an assassination attempt, and he became a brutal reactionary after that. And then in 1969, Israel selected Golda Meir. She was one of the founders with Ben-Gurion of Israel. One of the great movies about the U.S. Supreme Court, there are several. First Monday in October, which came out in the 70s, which was controversy about that. And there have been another couple of movies, and then, of course, clips or segments in movies about the Supreme Court, but very few. The one about the Civil War, Salmon P. Chase was the Chief Justice who presided at the impeachment trial of Andrew Johnson, 17th President of the United States. And, of course, I think it's the $10,000 bill in which has Salmon P. Chase's image on it. But one of my favorites and one of the great movies, and he had a great voice, Louis Kelhearn starred as Associate Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes. Oliver Wendell Holmes served in the American Civil War. He was from Boston. He had no children, but all his law students and clerks were his children. It was a great movie called Magnificent Yankee, although there's some controversy about whether some of it's fiction. And so we'll play the trailer clip, which we had in our archives.
Magnificent is the word for Oliver Wendell Holmes, for Lewis Carroll, and for the motion picture that bears the heroic title, The Magnificent Yankee. Here is a story as patriotic as the red, white, and blue, as inspiring as the 4th of July, A story with dignity that comes only with real distinction. Who among us cannot but be thrilled as we hear the wit and the wisdom of the great dissenter as his voice comes echoing out of the dramatic past?
That's not the way I read the law. This is a president and a justice of the Supreme Court. I have sense enough not to try to hit back, and so should he. President of the United States or not, he should keep his trap shut. Yes, Annie?
You might as well face it, son. Some men have it and some men don't, but you're no good without it. You've got to have fire in the belly. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Fire in the belly.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, sir, but no matter how I figure it, I can't get your income tax any lower.
Oh, that's all right, my boy. I don't mind paying taxes. That's the way I buy civilization. We're getting on, you know. Here, let me take a look at you. Great guns, you're ancient. You must be all of 75, eh?
Just about.
Infant. Do you know what I think when I see a pretty girl?
No, what?
Oh, to be 80 again.
Now, Louis Kelhern actually changed his name. He was born in New York, German background during World War I, German ancestry, and he decided a lot of things happened to people of German ancestry. In fact, names were changed to Liberty Dogs in some parts of the United States. But anyway, Louis Kelhern had this magnificent voice. He starred as Julius Caesar in Asphalt Jungle, many great films. He didn't live that long. He died of a heart attack in Tokyo. But it's a film that I would recommend, you see, and it's quite interesting about personalities of the U.S. Supreme Court, which has been the model for courts all around the world after our successful American Revolution. Founding Fathers set up the U.S. Supreme Court. And Thomas Marshall was not the first Chief Justice. There was a man before him, didn't last that long. And also, there's been three Roman Catholics who have been Chief Justices. The first one was Roger Taney, who was appointed by Andrew Jackson. Taney was from Maryland. And Maryland was a Catholic state also set up by Calvert. But anyway, Taney is best known or infamously known for the Dred Scott decision, which was a 32-page decision, which I had to go through for some research for our law firm. Anyway, the second one was Edward White, who was a Confederate. He was, I think, about the time of Cleveland, and he was Chief Justice. And then this recent guy, John Roberts, was Roman Catholic. And, of course, the court has been the first Jew was Brandeis, who was appointed by Wilson. And then there was the great Cardozo, who was a Portuguese Jewish ancestry, but I don't believe he practiced Judaism. And then we've had Felix Frankfurter, who worked for FDR. And then there was... Hugo Black was a Ku Klux Klanner and then repented. And he also said that the court should stay out of social issues like this gay marriage thing. It should never touch that. Had Black been alive, he would have probably dissented in conference and saying the court should not take up this issue and let the states decide what marriage is, whether it's between a man and a woman, a man and a man, a woman and a woman, or transgender or whatever. But that would have probably been his approach to this. We had, of course, one governor of California, Earl Warren, who was reactionary, was responsible for the Japanese removal here in California when he was governor. He was also a prosecutor of Alameda County, and he also served in World War I. He was a Scandinavian background. His great-grandson is gay and was also recently a Superior Court judge here in San Francisco County. He was also involved in two controversial cases involving the sexual agenda. One was the sailor who was raped, Stephen Neri. And then, of course, when these two lawyers living in this apartment building had these vicious dogs which killed a lesbian, and that was a very controversial case. which a lawyer was sent to prison because she should have known better not to keep those dogs in the apartment because they were inherently dangerous. We did an interview with Mel Belli, and also I had dated a woman, a clerk in his office, and had been to Mel Belli's house. I also worked partially on his probate. But we, when I went back into the media, did an interview on dog bite liability, and I will play that on Blog Talk here and also on our upcoming, as soon as we get it reestablished, Amicus Veritas broadcasting. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker, and we're trying to get a hold of Pat Butler so we can have an update on what I consider to be the most interesting politics in the country, and that's Cook County politics, where what was the name? Several writers have written about how it's very brutal politics, and they don't fool around like they do out here, where what a lot of people have seen is just all this affordable housing and other scams that are going on under the guise of really helping, claiming to help poor people or house people who can't afford to get a mortgage. Anyway, we'll get into that another day. Anyway, we're going to end with politics and poker.
I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen. How about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet out.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your mind.
I'll fold.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovic, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me.
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play it for a buck, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
It's Peter Paul Buzzella. We'll be back Friday, Pacific Standard Time. And our balmy weather is over here in Northern California. But we notice a lot of out-of-state cars that have come here from Pennsylvania and New York. And you can't blame them, but they want to get out of Buffalo and other places in the Northeast where they've been buried with these blizzards. So it's Peter Paul Buzzella. Good night. Stay safe.